So back around 2013, my father had some property in upstate New York by Scroon Lake. It was a heavily forested area, and a part of the Scroon River ran between it. My dad had discovered a rocky beach by the river, and he decided one night to set up camp there. From what he's told me, it was a quiet night, where all you could hear were the crickets and the frogs from the nearby swamp. He was reading a book when he heard an unfamiliar noise. It was footsteps in the leaves. Naturally, he assumed that it was a white-tailed deer. They were pretty common in that area. He didn't think much of it, and he thought it was a cool experience to have one come so close to his campsite. But the footsteps kept getting closer. He was starting to get suspicious as to what exactly was walking near his campsite. The footsteps were now circling his tent, all the way from the shore to the tree line. All of a sudden, the footsteps started running towards my dad's tent. They crashed into the side of the tent at full force. My dad kicked and punched the person until they got up and ran back into the forest. He then packed up his gear and left shortly after. The next day, he found out that an ex-convict had been shot dead there by the cops just months prior. Apparently, the convict had been speeding, and he was caught by the highway patrol. He tried to hide in the hidden driveway that leads into the property. He ran and resisted until he tried to pull one of the troopers' guns from their belt and was shot dead. So that was the time that my dad was attacked by the ghost of an ex-convict. Pretty crazy story. I'll leave a link to a news article below. 8 years ago, when I was about 10, my family relocated to a small single-story house with the intention of renovating and flipping it. It was a heavily industrial type area, and it wasn't originally designed to be a house. It was more of an office building. My parents converted the largest office into the master bedroom because it had a bathroom attached to it. My siblings shared another room on the outer perimeter of the house, and I got stuck with a smaller room towards the center, so there was no windows. When I first walked into the small isolated chamber I would be sleeping in, I immediately got the sense like I wasn't allowed in there. It was like I was breaking some kind of unspoken rule, and I couldn't shake it. I tried to distract myself by setting up my furniture and toys, trying my best to personalize the room and make it feel more welcoming. But the feeling just continued to strengthen. It was like I was vandalizing someone else's property. My door was open as I was finishing up, and at that moment, I happened to be the only one in the house. I then heard the frantic scurrying of paws across the kitchen flooring up the hall. I'm sure most of you know the sound. I smiled and ran into the hall, because I assumed our dogs had arrived. The idea had been to keep them at our friend's place until we had a fence up in the backyard. But apparently the plans had changed. I caught the sight of a shadow figure lurking in the corner, and then it disappeared toward the main entrance as I called out to my dog. Then the sound stopped, and at that point all I could hear was the tense silence. I looked all around, but my dog wasn't anywhere in sight. There hadn't been a sound of a door closing. I went outside and asked my parents where the dogs were, and they gave me a quick reminder that the dogs wouldn't be coming for another few days. My 10-year-old brain couldn't process what just happened, but instead of trying to explain what I had seen, I just kept quiet. I spent the night in my sibling's room, half convinced that there was an animal running loose somewhere in the house. Fast forward about 3 months, and the house was coming together nicely, and I was feeling much more comfortable in my bedroom. The strange, unwelcoming feeling had subsided, and I was actually enjoying my cavern of privacy. However, one night I woke up to the sound of whispering in my room. I sat up and paused, half convinced that I heard my own name being spoken from across the room. I then reached over and flipped on my light, but there was absolutely nothing there. I turned the light back off and settled back into bed. And I would have dismissed this altogether if not for what happened next. I heard my younger sister start screaming from her room. I followed my parents down the hall to her room, where she was literally shaking in fear. She said that someone was calling her name from near the window. She stated that someone had been taunting her, trying to get her to leave the room and head to the small pond in the backyard. She said that she had seen something looking at her through the window. My father turned on the porch light and went out back to put her mind at ease. He came back within a few minutes and said that he hadn't seen anything. A few years later, after we had long since moved out of that house, my father did confess that he had seen something out by the pond. It was an animal of some kind, and he assumed it was a bobcat. He got the feeling that he was in some kind of danger from it. He then made his way back inside. My sister then told me that she couldn't sleep for the rest of that night, because she saw something with red eyes stalking around in the backyard through her window, coming into view every few minutes. Now here's where things start to get even stranger. The first two occurrences could be dismissed as imagination, paranoia, or nightmares, but even my parents began to feel uneasy after what happened next. Though they didn't show it at the time, it was in the middle of the day, and my sister and I were watching TV in the living room when we heard a thudding sound coming from across the roof. We collectively lost our minds because the footfalls were so heavy. We were convinced that a bear or something was trying to break in. We could hear the support beams in the ceiling straining under the weight. We hid behind the couch, which in retrospect was stupid. Heading down to the basement would have probably been safer if something was about to fall through our roof. When my parents got home, we didn't have to say anything because the footsteps hadn't stopped. My dad grabbed this rusty old pitchfork that he kept in the garage and went outside, ready to prod something down off the roof. He assumed that it was a dog of some kind. I should point out that our dogs weren't home that day, though I can't remember the exact reason. The only way up onto the roof was this dead tree alongside the opposite wall of the house, and my dad climbed up with no problem. But when he got to the roof, there was nothing there. Well, nothing except for a toy horse that I had lost the first week we moved in. There was also my sister's doll that she had brought home that day. And even when my dad stomped as hard as he could across the roof, he couldn't replicate the noise that we had all heard before. My parents had the tree cut down that weekend. There were a few instances where the TV would misbehave and turn off by itself during the night, but nothing of real concern to happen until that summer. The housework was finished, and we were all getting ready to move out, as a buyer had already been found. I was playing hide and seek with my sisters, and had chosen this chest in the back room as the best place to lay low. There were a whole bunch of coats and boots and random things in there, and when I climbed in and hid myself among the coats, I felt my leg bump against someone else. My younger sister seemed to have the same idea as me and was already hiding in there. I didn't want to give us away, so I didn't say anything, but instead I just carefully shut the lid. There was just enough room for the both of us. I'm not sure how long we were in there for, but I heard my older sister walking through the room looking for us a couple of times, and after a few minutes of silence, I poked my head up through the coats and cracked the lid of the chest to get some air. Through the door to the next room, I could see my sisters looking around the family room for me. Both of my sisters. I screamed and shot up so fast that I smacked my head against the chest lid and I made to scramble out of there. And that's when something grabbed my leg. It wasn't a firm grab, but it was more of a confirmation, like something was trying to say,
"I was here the whole time."
The whole chest fell forward, and I scrambled out, wailing like a siren and bawling my eyes out. When my sister saw me, they began panicking, asking why I was so bruised up. I went to the bathroom and discovered that I had scratches and bruises all up and down my arms, legs, and neck. They weren't so bad that I was bleeding or anything, but I did look like I had let someone poke at me with thumbtacks for a while. My parents were convinced that my sisters had attacked me, even after I told them that I had been in the trunk. We moved away that summer. Looking back, it's funny how quickly abnormal things like that become totally irrelevant when you get a change of scenery. Life goes on. My family and I still remember those events, but rarely ever speak of them. Not because we're afraid. It's because we don't really see much point to it. I wonder if that's how most people adapt after experiencing something they could never explain. Dismissive and indifferent. Like it may as well have never happened.